And the cup assure us that God loves us. We have great confidence and assurance. And today, the key word for this morning is assurance. Everybody say that word with me. Assurance. Oh, that's pretty good, but I don't think they could hear you in the children's nursery. So let's wake up those little ones back there. Once again, assurance. Because we ought to confidently say assurance, because we live in such an unconfident, unstable, insecure world. It's all around us. Might ask you, what are some of the signs that a person knows Christ? What assures you that a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? What signs are there? You know, my father has now been gone for 20 years, but I'm confident that his home is in heaven. Why am I so confident? What assurance did I have that my father knew Jesus Christ as his Savior? Well, there's the reality that my father, in his office in the railroad depot, he had a Bible on his desk. And that was one of the consistent things about his life. He always had a Bible close by, and I know he followed the Bible because he would work long hours, more than 10 hours a day sometimes, to provide for our family. He loved our family, and he cared for us by working long hours. My father was a very tender, kind, gentle man. He loved other people in a very active way. He loved all kinds of people, including Eddie. Who's Eddie? Well, Eddie was the guy that it appears as if he didn't have any means. He didn't own a car, and that's why my father, we got to know Eddie, is because he would stand along the road and do this, and some of the room don't know what this is anymore, and that's probably a good thing in our day, right? But back in the day, this was a sign that I need a ride. We call this hitchhiking. And Eddie would hitchhike on Sunday mornings. He didn't have a car, though I know he had the means that he could have bought one, but he lived such a simple life that he hitchhiked. And my father, as much as my sister and I would plea that he wouldn't stop and pick up Eddie, he did it every time. What was the problem with Eddie? Well, Eddie, not only didn't he spend money on transportation, but he didn't spend money on deodorant and toothpaste. I think he needed a lesson on personal hygiene. But that was Eddie. And so when we would look down the road on the way to church, my sister and I would be peeking through the DeVille Cadillac front windshield all the way down the road, and to see if Eddie was standing along the road, and sure enough, there's Eddie. And then came a battle. Who was going to sit in the back seat by Eddie? Was it my sister or was it me? And so the battle would begin, and we weren't going to put Eddie in the middle because that means we both have to sit by Eddie. And so it was an ongoing battle, and you can only imagine that when Eddie got in the car, my sister and I scooted as far away from Eddie as possible. That's Eddie. And I tell you that because one of the signs, one of the assurances I have that my father knew Jesus was he actively loved other people like Eddie. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we want to be certain, we want to be assured of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to talk about your parents or any other person, but today, the word is assurance. We want you to examine your relationship with Jesus Christ. As we open up the text of Scripture here in 1 John chapter 3, what certainty do you have that you have been saved, that you know God and that He knows you? And this is why John wrote this letter, this epistle for us of 1 John. He wrote it that we might know that we have eternal life. Oh, what a sweet assurance that is, that we know that we have eternal life. That's my desire for you, for me, this day, that when we walk through those doors and we walk out that door to the parking lot and we get in the car, we'll have assurance of eternal life. That's what this text of Scripture is about. We're going to see that this follows up on the previous verses from last week when we saw that active love results in comforting assurance. So here we are. Look at today's passage. And as I read 19 through 24, I want you to identify what assurances come from loving actions. That's what you're going to watch for. Are you ready? Here we go. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by His Spirit whom He has given us. Would you close your eyes? And I just ask you to close your eyes because I don't want to mess this passage up. And Father, I desire that Your Spirit would come remind us of truth, would reveal hearts, and would point us to the Savior. Oh, we want to trust Your unfailing love that's revealed through Jesus Christ. And we want to rejoice that You have rescued us, that You have given us Your salvation. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, starting our passage in verse 19, where it says, By this, we shall know. So what is the by this? What's it referring to? How do we know that we are of the truth? And how are we reassured our hearts before Him? Well, that word by this is pointing us back to last week's text of Scripture when we read in verse 18, let us not love in word or deed, word or talk, but in deed and in truth. You see, kind and loving words are encouraging, but they need to be backed up by action. And that's that old saying, you've heard it before, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. But the action that backs up that love, those loving words, that is costly. It's intentional. Genuine action in love is intentional. That's the point being made in verse 18. This kind of act of love benefits both parties. It benefits the person. If I'm pouring out active love on another person, that person benefits because I'm showing them love. I'm doing something kind for them, like picking up Eddie. But it also benefits the person that's extending the loving action. And how does it benefit me when I extend loving action to another? Well, when we love in word and action, one of the benefits is that we gain assurance of salvation. That's the point of verse 19. It's by this we know that we are of the truth and assure our heart before Him. It helps us have the certainty that I know God when I'm extending that loving action to others. Now that's, by the way, I need to back up and say, that's not how I am saved, okay? Be clear about that. When we show active love, that's not the means to salvation, that's a result of salvation. I want to be real clear about that today. But I want you to know that During my teen years, I wrestled so much with our key word for the day, which is assurance. I wrestled with that during my young adult and teen years. I was in a constant seesaw. A seesaw between, I know Jesus. Oh, no, I don't know Jesus. And there was this perpetual, miserable insecurity that came in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I look back, I believe I knew Christ during that time, but I was perpetually seesawing in that. You see, I was living, when I would seesaw down saying, I don't know Jesus, I was listening to feelings. But then when I realized the facts, the reality of what Christ did, I knew Christ. I could count on Him, but I couldn't count on myself. No. But I could count on Christ. It was a seesaw like that. I had two heart conditions that are referred to in this passage. The first of the two heart conditions is mentioned in verse 20 when it says, for whenever our heart condemns us. Did you notice that it didn't say if our heart condemns us? It didn't say that, does it? Whenever. This is a reality that we live in. Our hearts condemn us. Our hearts condemn us. When we focus on self and selfish desires, our heart's going to condemn us. And that was happening to me again and again as a young man. I was focused on me and not Him. And that left me with a condemned heart. But you'll notice the text says, God is greater than our heart. And He knows everything. He knows everything. God knew all about my condemned heart and how I was living for self. He knew that. He knew that. He knows everything. I might be able to hide that when I was a young man from the people around me, but there was no hiding that from the Lord. He knows everything. It's that seesaw. We're called to love people, and yet I was loving self. And I knew that I was not living according to His standard of love, which is Jesus Himself. I was desperately falling short, and I was failing, and I had a condemned heart. But when the reminders came, the facts, when I got away from the feelings and remembered the facts of God's grace that He had extended to me even when I was so unworthy, that God's grace is greater than all my sin. Greater than all my sin. Oh, that led from a condemned heart to a confident heart. That's the second heart that's referred to in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Confidence. When the Spirit of God, who lives inside of me, and I believe He did even when I was a young adult and a teenager, when I began to listen to His voice, and when I began to respond in obedience to Him, loving as Christ loves others, then that made a difference, and that gave me assurance in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I needed assurance, and I'm going to tell you today practically two things that made a big difference in my assurance. One is, I knew or I had heard that this book, 1 John, was full of assurance. And if I would study the book of 1 John, I would gain assurance in my relationship with Jesus Christ. So it is my sophomore year, while a student at Cedarville, someone had mentioned that advice. I opened up my scriptures and I began to, on my own, not even for a class assignment, dive into this writing of 1 John, and I began to get that assurance in the fact that He loves me and that He died for me. I gained that assurance. Secondly, while a student, I also learned that there was a great opportunity that there was joy that comes in serving Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, when I began to love in action, not just words, it began to give me assurance. And that seesaw began to tip more towards the confident heart as opposed to the condemned heart. It was a reality of assurance that I was gaining. I ask you today, are you living a seesaw Christian life? Do you feel almost a nagging, constant, condemned heart? Then examine those feelings and ask, is this conviction of the Holy Spirit that I need to respond to? Do I need to repent of? This could be the Spirit of God speaking to you in this seesaw life. And put your faith and trust in His grace during those moments. You don't have to live miserably like I did. You can live above that. You can live in God's grace. Aren't you thankful that when we actively love others, it helps us gain assurance of salvation? But when we actively love others, the truth is we also will increasingly be assured that we're living in His will. That's the second point, assured of His will. That's verse 22 when it says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." The confidence that comes from loving others leads to boldness in prayer. Because loving others is God's will. It's what He's calling us to do. Even as James said, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its working. When we're actively seeking to obey Him instead of gratifying self, when we're actively exalting Him and edifying others, we can pray submissively for God's will to be done. And we can be confident that His ear is attentive to our prayers. You see, since we have Jesus as a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, He was tempted like we are, and yet He didn't sin. Therefore, we can pray with confidence. That's the message of Hebrews. So where does the will of God begin? Now that's the age-old question that many in this room have asked often. What is God's will? Where do I even begin to know how to live according to God's will? Well, this text gives us two. Living in the will of God begins with verse 23 when it says, in the first part, "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." It's to believe in Christ. That's where the will of God begins. Each person in this room must trust in Jesus as your Savior. Your parents can't do it for you. You can't do it for your children. Each person must make that commitment to Christ. And when I say trust Christ as your Savior, it's the word belief here. John talks about that a lot in his gospel record, and we won't turn there because of time, but even in the very first chapter of the Gospel of John, we're told, "And by this, all who did receive Him," talking about Christ, "who believed in His name, He gave right to become children of God." And then, of course, there's John 3:16, which you can say with me, right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Don't stop there, and I'll read the rest. Verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." That's the condemned heart. That's not why He sent Christ to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. That's the confident heart. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The first commandment, the most important one that's being referred to here, is we need to place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot save ourselves. There's one way to know God. There's one way, and Jesus is the way. That's real clear. That's the first commandment. That's the first commandment. And then there's a second one that's referred to in the second part of verse 23 when it says, and love one another just as he has loved us. Again, referring back to the earlier verses, Christ shows us how to love, actively love one another. Our standard is Christ. It's God who shows his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. Last week, right here on this platform, Sunday evening, we had a children's ministry program. We call it Relaunch here at Shawnee Hills. And I loved how Andrew, you made a big deal of pointing out that this is the way that our children are learning to serve others, to actively show love by practicing, by using their hands and doing that. That was great. But what you don't know, the people that were in the room, you saw our kids serving and actively loving. What you don't know is what was happening out in the parking lot at the same time. At the same time our children were serving, we had men in the parking lot helping a car that had run out of gas. And that car, it was a lady who was alone. She needed gas. And I watched our men go to action, actively loving. And even one of them, I don't know where he came up with a gas can, but he ran off and came back with a gas can and put gas in her tank, and off she went. What we have is, we have Shawnee Hills, our children and our men and many others in various ways, actively loving one another, fulfilling this second command that's referred to here by the Apostle John. And why were they doing that? Because they had already come to grips with the first command by placing their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was actively at work in their hearts, and they were actively loving one another. Well, there's a lot more we could say about this, but I'll give you one more. When we actively love one another, of course, we gain assurance of God's salvation. We are increasingly assured of God's will. But in verse 24, we learn, whoever keeps his commandment abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. When we actively love one another, we can be assured of God's Spirit that's at work within us. This is an assurance that we have. It's evidence that God's Spirit is working. Because if we're left to ourselves, we only serve ourselves. Our focus is on me. I'm living that condemned heart life. But when I'm actively listening to the voice of His Spirit that's living within me, I'm confident. I have that confident heart. By the way, you might be confused here by the word abide. It's a fun-loving Greek term called minnow. That's the minnow. I like that term. It's fun. But it's more than just a fun term. It's meaningful. It's throughout the New Testament. And it means to remain or to dwell. Dwell. It has the idea of being intimate, close. And that's what John is showing us here in this, is that God is with when we keep his commandments, God is in us and we are in him. There's a closeness there. And by this, we know, we have that confidence that he abides in me, he dwells in me, the Spirit of God, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the fruit that comes out. You see The Spirit of God is the root that comes to live within us when we place our trust in Jesus Christ. But the fruit that comes out is that loving others that we've just talked about. And this all happens because we have the assurance that the Spirit of God is at work within us. It's what Jesus, when he spoke these words to the disciples in John 14, he said this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." That's what we're talking about. "To be with you forever." Forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And the Spirit of God is within those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus. What comforting assurance that the Holy Spirit is our ever-present help in a time of trouble. He's guiding us to live in obedience to his commandments. This is assurance that we have. And those are three assurances that come from these few short verses from 1 John. I ask you today, do you have assurance in your relationship with the Lord? Or are you living this oscillating life between condemnation and confidence? Which are you? Are you filled with self-condemning thoughts? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus for salvation? Like, have you really, really come to Jesus and acknowledged your sin and need for a Savior, and you point and say, "Jesus is my only hope"? Have you come to that place? Are loving words and active deeds a part of your daily routine? Or are your words rather harsh and unkind? That's a hard one, isn't it? Do you recognize and follow the Holy Spirit's guidance? These are all some practical questions for each of us to ask. I want you to leave with assurance today. And if you're really struggling with assurance, you need to reach out, because that's a miserable way to live. I wish I would have reached out when I was a teen or a young man. But thankfully, I didn't reach out, but the Holy Spirit did. And the Holy Spirit worked in my heart. I'm so thankful that I've overcome the insecurity that I felt during that season of life. And I'm here today to tell you that you can be assured of your salvation. You can have assurance. I'm going to remind you that this all is because active love results in comforting assurance. And I ask you just to close your eyes, and as the music team comes, we're going to go to the throne in prayer, but then we're going to go to the throne in our singing. But the words of Hebrews 10 seem so good for us to end in prayer with. And just as we go to prayer, I just want to thank you, Father, that we can confidently enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And Jesus is the new and living way that's opened up for us through the curtain. And we do. You've given us a great high priest. And help us now to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. Oh, Father, thank you. Help us to hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. For you have promised and you are faithful. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.